Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It's March 18th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, YouTube, and maybe somewhere else. Who knows? We've got a post-game wrap-up show, rubinreport.locals.com. And I said to the guys when I walked in this morning, let's see if we still know how to do this, because I was only gone for about 8 days. We did not do any shows last week because I was in Israel. But it was, I would say, a life-changing trip. There was a little bit of everything, from sort of the sheer horror that we knew we were going to see to really some unbelievable perseverance and zest for life and kind of everything in between. So hopefully, if you haven't seen some of the videos we're putting up across platforms right now, you can see a whole bunch of interviews we did. Actually, we put a little compilation. I'll just talk over it just so you can see. So that's the first day in Tel Aviv, and it's so interesting to be in a city where there's a beach and people out and about. That's David Friedman, ex-ambassador, who I've had on a few times. I think we've got Dr. Eli David right there, who's the second most engaged influencer on Twitter after Elon, which is crazy. That's Yosef Haddad, who's an Arab Israeli fighting for Israel. He's not Jewish. This is in Kibbutz Kfar Zah, I think, where at one point there were 900 people living there. It's about a mile away from Gaza, and now there are two people living there. That's former Ambassador Ron Dermer, who now is in the Likud government with Bibi. That was at the Prime Minister's office, and this is when we were up north, which people don't realize the reason we're wearing the flak jacket and helmet and everything. There's a massive war brewing in the north. That's one of the houses that was destroyed. That's not from anything that happened in Gaza. Anyway, we have a whole bunch of videos out and more to come. Actually, I think one of the most interesting things that we did was our second to last day on Friday, right before Shabbat, where really everything shuts down, especially in Jerusalem, but all over the country. We went to the old city of Jerusalem and we took a walk from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is the holiest site in Christianity, obviously. And we took a walk to the Western Wall, which is the holiest site in Judaism. Technically, it's the Temple Mount, which is above it. But Israel doesn't let Jews pray there because that's where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is. So Israel is not letting the Jews pray at their holiest site. So the Western Wall is commonly thought as the holiest site in Judaism. But in any event, we did a video, Connor, God bless Connor, walking backwards. The streets were a little wet and it's stony and you know, you're climbing up and down hills and everything else. We did a video in one shot with no edits, me walking you through the old city where you see Muslims next to Jews, next to Christians, next to everybody else. We walked partly through the Muslim quarter, which our security guy was not thrilled about, because particularly during Ramadan and Shabbat is not a great time to do it, but we did do that. We also have an interview with the deputy mayor of Jerusalem, Hassan Flor, who's just absolutely spectacular. And just let me quickly say, and then we'll connect this to everything we're gonna do on the show today, is that almost everything that I saw in Israel is completely the reverse of the way the media treats what's going on there. The media lies about everything. I guess that's a theme that I've been talking about on this show for a long time. But it seems to me that after being in Israel for a week, seeing what's going on the ground, meeting, we didn't show you a video of it right there, but we went to Hostage Square several times. I talked to family members of hostages, family members of people who were killed. You know, about 2,000 people were killed. There's still over 100 people that are in Gaza. And then, of course, this absolutely insane speech that Chuck Schumer gave. For me to be in Israel while basically the highest, they kept telling us, the highest ranking Jewish member of the government, as if that means anything. Like you can sell out your people regardless of your job. For him to give this insane speech about Bibi and that Israel's not conducting the war right, meanwhile they're dropping food, and that these people are still there. Who knows if they're gonna get any of them out? And if they do, I mean, just imagine the images. These people will basically look like Holocaust survivors at this point. But Schumer just throwing Israel under the bus while virtually everyone there across the political spectrum is supporting Bibi and the war effort right now. But more broadly, and we'll talk about this more as more of the clips come out, what seemed obvious to me was that there is this deep, it's not a political connection, there is a deep connection between Israel and America and really the rest of the West, if the West wants to survive. The ideas of individual freedom, and as Ben Shapiro talks about, the ideas from Jerusalem to Athens, and that the individual does matter, and that's sort of the bedrock of society. These are the things all being attacked right now. And the lies that are, the liars and the lies that they spread are actually undoing the West. If Israel goes down, doesn't win this war, okay, fine, another Holocaust, You may not care about the Jews or Israel. Okay, fine. But what do you think about all these people that are in London, that are marching in France and elsewhere, who are calling for jihad and everything else? You think they're going to stop or they're going to just get going? And that became very, very obvious, seeing that connection in real time. So anyway, all of that being said, more videos are coming out. And I hope if you haven't seen some of those videos that you will take a look. And it was just deeply meaningful. I can't really explain it exactly. It was just... And then just to see the life also, sorry, one more thing, just to see, to go from these kibbutzes that are burned out and destroyed, the one man at the kibbutz, there were 900 people that lived there. Hundreds were killed. He and his wife are the only two people that live there right now. And he just gives tours to show people. And we could see Gaza in the distance. And there was just a little fence. Egypt has series of fences and walls. Israel just had a little fence. They obviously regret that now. But then to spend some time in Tel Aviv where there's people on the beach and there's parties and there's music and I was at a club till 4 a.m. doing shots and like they still are alive and the food is amazing and you see this incredible contrast between death and life and that they're still going. And I think that that's kind of, it's baked into the story of the Jews, but there are always people who will lie and that is going to be the story or the theme of the show today. So we're gonna talk a little bit about Nancy Mace, Donald Trump, Elon Musk and a whole bunch more. And the silver lining, of course, because I'm always looking for the silver lining, is that people are not buying it the way they used to. And thankfully, I'm deeply thankful for that, because as we watch this migration crisis, this illegal immigrant crisis, watching people pour over the border, for me to be in Israel, where I'm looking at the border, that Hamas and about 30,000 citizens just bust through the border to cause all this carnage and evil and everything else, I'm watching videos from back home where you're seeing people pour into our borders. And it's like that to see that and think nobody's doing anything about it is crazy. But more and more of us are waking up to it and hopefully we can cause some change. Maybe not at the national level because of Biden, but I think we can at the state level. Anyway, I want to start with a video from Bill Maher real time on Friday night. Nancy Mace, who's a Republican congresswoman, she was on there and Bill asked her about an interview she had done a day or two before with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. And now she is a victim of rape, I believe, when she was 16 years old. And I want you to listen, because when I talk about lies, it's not just that people lie about things, it's people that are always a certain set of people are very confused about things, let's say. So I want you to listen to what Bill says to Nancy and her response. Take a look.
Can I ask you about that? Because I asked before, would you mind talking about it? Because you were much in the news last week about this issue, because you were on George Stephanopoulos' show, and he was questioning about the idea that you're supporting Trump, who was found guilty of sexual assault by a jury in New York for the E. Jean Caro case. And you were a rape victim yourself. And I guess his implication was that being so, that you should not support someone who is convicted of this crime.
Well, number one, to set the stage a little bit, I went on to talk about 2024. When the general election, it's Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. I had my 14-year-old kid with me, my daughter with me that day. It was work. I was there for work. She had no choice. She had to come with me. It was a really uncomfortable conversation afterwards with her on the way to the airport over this. And she knows my story. But number one, Donald Trump wasn't convicted of sexual assault. The $83 million was a defamation suit. It was about defamation. There was a sexual abuse claim, and she got a little bit for that. But the vast majority of it was for defamation, not rape, not sexual assault. So I think there are two types.
Is that right, Ron?
That is right.
Is that right? Yes, it is. So first off, Bill, I'm not making this personal. You're in Miami doing a show on Friday. I think I'm going. Hopefully going to see you. But the confusion. So I talk about the liars and then there's a confused set of people. So Bill, I don't think, was lying there. He did not realize that Donald Trump has not been convicted for rape. If you've been watching this show or watching any kind of alt media, you know that, right? He was convicted for defaming E. Jean Caro, not for raping her. There is no rape conviction. But Bill says it, that she was convicted of this crime. That's what Bill says. And then at the end, when she says, no, this is the truth, it wasn't a conviction on rape, he says, oh, is that right? That sort of confusion, that there's a whole bunch of people who are confused about a whole bunch of things, is becoming a massive problem. Because, okay, fine, we have liars that lie to people, right? So the people of MSNBC lie about everything and they keep their audience dumb and everything else. And you keep people confused about Gaza and Israel, and you keep people confused about gender and whatever, and you keep people confused about the founding of America. Fine, those people are bad because it's intentional. Bill, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. I don't think he was lying. I think he was genuinely surprised. It's a little surprising to me because he has a bunch of producers who I've gotten to know and are quite lovely. But I think we have to call out this stuff when it's there, because I'll show you how it's connected to some other things happening right now. Now I want to just jump back a few days, because here is Nancy Mace on ABC with George Stephanopoulos in that exact moment. And notice, when it's a Republican who's been raped, it's a little bit different.
And you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George, and I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not going to do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump.
No,
you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame, and you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim, and I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
For women to come forward when they
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Yeah. Let's get Nancy Mace on the show. That is how you deal with these people. To repeat, this was not a criminal case. It was a civil case about defamation. That's what she won. Donald Trump has never been convicted of rape. So he repeatedly lies, or the best version of it would be that he's slightly confused in what he's saying. But you've got to understand, these shows have 20 producers. They have showrunners, people that check everything along the way. I got a couple guys here. We're doing the best we can. And somehow we managed to do a little bit better. But also the idea, because, oh, you are supporting Donald Trump, now we're going to use your rape against you. It's absolutely disgusting. But what I'm trying to show you here is that the media, again, they lie or they confuse things. And it's also deeply connected to what I saw in Israel, where they lie or confuse about absolutely everything, whether it's related to history, whether it's somebody defending themselves is somehow the bad guy. I mean, it's the same tactic over and over. And again, more and more of us are waking up to it. There was a huge hoax that was debunked in real time related to Donald Trump, which we'll talk about in just a second. Let me get to you, Preserve Gold, real quick, guys. So a new central bank digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. With it could come surveillance of our lives, freezing assets, and government control over our bank accounts and how we spend our own money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request your free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you and will help you with the process to have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're a BBB accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. They're also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer for Rubin Report viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate $500 account credit if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave today and get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first steps towards helping to protect your wealth. That's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. Okay, so I want to show you how the lies get laundered in real time. absolutely, we talked about real time, the show. Now we're going to do something actually in real time. And this relates to Donald Trump. And no matter how many times they do this to Trump, it keeps happening over and over. So you cannot believe it's an accident, even though I always do try to give these people the benefit of the doubt. Why? I have no idea. So first, I'm going to show you a video from a Trump rally over the weekend, and I'm not going to lead in any other way. Just watch the video, listen to the words yourself, and keep them in your noggin, because we'll do something right after.
Mexico has taken, over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
All right. I think you can already see where this is going. First off, that's Trump at his best. When he's making a point, he's speaking off the cuff. He's kind of, we're friends, but whatever. Like, that's Trump at his best because he's making a point. He's not making fun of anyone, all of that stuff. He's making a point about China and Mexico and our border as it relates to bringing cars in. And okay, you can think whatever you want about tariffs or anything else, but he's making a point. Now, at the end, he said, if I don't get elected, there's going to be a bloodbath, meaning related to the auto industry, obviously, meaning if we let them bring in all of these cheap cars through Mexico and China's creating plants in Mexico and they bring all these things in with no tariffs or anything else, there will be a bloodbath for our auto industry. It's obvious, everyone knows it. However, when we talk about the liars, here we go. Legacy media, NBC News. Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. CBS News, at Ohio rally, Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. Rolling Stone, Trump says there will be a bloodbath, an election. Okay, fine. You get the point. This is what they do with everything. This is what they did with the Very Fine People hoax. They have done this over and over and over, but it's always about that sliver of people maybe that are waking up to this nonsense. Now let's connect this to what's going on the tech side, because Elon Musk getting Twitter, X, the importance of that cannot be overstated, because it is basically the only place, I would obviously include Rumble and Locals in that, but in terms of mass ability to get information out in real time, it is the only place where we are not being suppressed and there is a counter view. So Elon saw that tweet that I just showed you there, and he retweeted and wrote, interesting. Now, it's important. It's not that what he wrote there is so important, but he then amplifies this so then people can see the hoax happening in real time. He followed up his next tweet on that was this. Yep, hoax making in process, and it's surprisingly effective. So do you want to see how surprisingly effective it is? Over on MSNBC, it's not just headlines, but here they are. Just listen. We weren't here for a week, right? I was dealing with Hamas. I shouldn't be so frustrated with this kind of stuff. Okay, here we go. Watch.
What I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back, right? This is the same guy who, after Nazis marched on Charlottesville and killed a woman, said there were very fine people on both sides.
Wow, that's a double fucking whammy, because it's not just that they're lying about the bloodbathing, then they bring the Very Fine People hoax back. That guy works for the Biden-Harris re-election campaign. In a serious country, he would be fired immediately. But there, because we don't have an actual serious media, there's nobody to guard anybody, right? There's nobody to be like, you know what, you think anyone is gonna at the Biden campaign is going to be like, dude, you were just on MSNBC and you lied about the bloodbath thing. And I know that they also lied about it because of the thing that they put beneath it. Trump says there will be a bloodbath. He wasn't talking about violence on the streets. He was talking about the bloodbath for the American auto industry if we allow this to happen. But okay, fine, MSNBC it lied, but you lied because you knew it wasn't about a bloodbath, a violent bloodbath, a violent uprising or whatever. And also you brought up the Very Fine People hoax, which it's a hoax because Donald Trump did say, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists who should be condemned completely. But they keep going, they keep going. And here's Nancy Pelosi.
Because he's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here. How respectful I am of the American people and their goodness. But how much more do they have to see from him to understand that this isn't what our country is about? Praising Hitler, praising the Russians.
Praising Hitler? Did we miss that one? Can somebody? I've been away. Did Trump praise Hitler while I was gone? I haven't found that one. I'm actually not going to go after Nancy Pelosi here. That would be low-hanging fruit. I'm going to talk about Dana Bash. Because Dana, you are sitting there. People often say to me, oh, there are two or three good people. Dave, you're going after CNN too much. There are two or three good people there. There's that Jake Tapper and that Dana Bash. Well, Dana Bash, you know that she's lying. Did you not watch the clip? Like, if you don't know Dana Bash, then you literally did not spend 20 seconds watching the clip that you are asking her about. But this is how the lies get laundered, because I don't think Dana Bash is incompetent. I think she is running cover for evil at this point. And the problem is, we're going to get this to immigration in a second, the more they lie about who the good guys are and the bad guys are, the more that just because you have an opinion, you happen to be a Republican, your rape is allowed to be debated, the more they do all of this, they will usher in the end of our society. And I can tell you that having been in Israel for a week, a tiny little country fighting for its existence right now, they have serious people there, serious people in their media, serious people in their politics, serious people in the civil part of their society, and they're struggling. We don't have seriousness anywhere, right? We have just a bunch of clowns basically everywhere. And when the bad guys get here, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier to take us out. And I mean that for the UK and France and elsewhere, because we don't have serious people across the board. We have a bunch of people who lie to us or run cover for the liars. We'll get to a really interesting third example of this in just a second. But let me talk to you guys about TWC Health. Guys, life is unpredictable. If we've learned anything in the last 4 years, it's that. And while we can't possibly predict everything that can be thrown at us, we can prepare for it, which is why I'm building a force field over my house after what I've just seen. That's where the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit steps in, setting a new standard in readiness and convenience. The Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit is nothing like the average drugstore first aid kit. It's a lifeline when you need it most, containing a tourniquet, coagulating powder, eyewash, a lidocaine patch, instant glucose powder, as well as key prescription medications, and a range of essential tools that make all the difference. In an emergency, the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit is your ultimate guard against the unexpected. That was a long sentence. When time is critical and immediate action is needed, the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit gives you that edge. Respond quickly with the right tools and effectively with the guidebook to injuries or accidents. It's a level of preparedness that you won't find in any other kit. Stay one step ahead. Get the Wellness Company's First Aid Emergency Kit today. Visit twc.health/Ruben and use promo code Ruben for an exclusive 15% discount. Your safety and preparedness are invaluable, so trust the Wellness Company. So now I want to show you more lies. More just endless lies. So Don Lemon, we haven't talked about Don Lemon in a while. Don Lemon, as you know, was fired by CNN. He is a terrible journalist. He is a hack, partisan clown, I would say. I was kind of friendly with him for a while, but he's just everything that's wrong with everything in the mainstream media is kind of summed up in Don Lemon. So Don Lemon, fired by CNN, what was that? I don't know, about 6-8 months ago, he decided to start a new show on the anti-mainstream media network. That is Twitter, platform really, not network. It's a platform that anyone can be on. And Elon Musk decided to go on Don's first show to help him out. I don't think Elon particularly has much respect for him or anything else, but I think it was like, oh, here's a guy that's known. He's coming on my platform. I'll sit down with him. And it did not go well. Clip one, please.
Do you believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform, that you wouldn't have to answer these questions from reporters about the Great Replacement Theory as it relates to
Democrats? I don't have to answer these questions.
The Great Replacement Theory as it relates to Jewish people. Do you think that?
I don't have to answer questions from reporters. Don, the only reason I'm doing this interview is because you're on the X platform and you asked for it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would not do this interview.
So you don't think, do you think that you wouldn't get in trouble or you wouldn't be criticized for these things?
I'm criticized constantly. I could care less.
Just so incredible. Like, Don, did you learn nothing? Like, you're still running cover for the people that are anti-free speech when you are no longer part of their machine? Like, that's, you get Elon Musk, he's doing you a favor, and that's what you're asking him? You're asking him if he's being too free speechy? Like, it's just absolutely absurd. By the way, I'll be sitting down with Elon Musk soon. We're working it out. And you know, in the last year or so, where I've visited him a few times and some of the Twitter file stuff and all that, I've gone out of my way to never ask him for an interview because I was dealing with serious issues and wanted to kind of get that side of it out. I finally, a few days ago, I asked him for an interview a couple days ago, and he's like, okay, do you want to do it now or what? And I was like, well, I'm going away. We're going to make it. I'm like, the guy is so accessible. He's doing everything he possibly can. And to his point there, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this. I'm only doing this to help you, you schmuck. Anyway, then Don went on the network that fired him to talk about why he's not happy with Elon Musk. I mean, it's like Shakespeare would envy the story. It's so insane. So he gets fired from CNN. He talks to the free speech guy, gives him shit for free speech, and then goes on the place that fired him to complain about the guy that was giving him free speech. Enjoy.
And it was tense at moments, but you've been involved in tense interviews.
Yep.
I said to him, I think it's good that people see folks like you and I who have different worldviews come together and talk, as he says, have free speech. Free speech is only important when someone you don't like, or I would say someone who doesn't have your same point of view, if they're allowed to speak freely and to say their point of view. Apparently that doesn't matter to Elon Musk. It's just for maybe talking points for him or rhetoric, because it doesn't seem to matter when it's about him, questions about him from people like me.
Done. He went on your show. You guys are all upset with him because he allows people with counter ideas to be on the platform. And you're now talking on a network that fired you because you're a dingbat. But it's very good for Don, because what happens? He's now in the news. So they took him over to the harpies at The View. And there's some lies and confusion here. We'll get to that in a sec. Take a look.
Brother, I think getting fired by Elon Musk is something you should wear as a badge of honor.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. I love you guys so much. And I can't wait to see you guys soon.
I know
what you mean.
I think somebody got to him.
You think
so? He knew what he was getting into. And then,
he's
not stupid. He knew what he was hiring. Somebody got to him.
Tara Swisher calls him a toddler child. What did you call him?
You're going to see.
Thanks to Don Lemon. His full interview with Elon Musk, by the way, premieres Monday.
He was not fired by Elon. There was no contract. He was just putting his stuff on Twitter. He was not hired, so Joy lies. And he was not fired, so what's her name, Anna Navarro lies. He just put stuff on Twitter, like you put stuff on Twitter if you're on the Twitter, right? That's it. There was no contract. He was never paid a dime. Now you would think that Don Lemon, who's a journalist, might say, oh, Anna, actually, I know it seems like he fired me because we got into a little spat. Actually, I'm still on Twitter. I'm allowed to be on there. And we never signed a contract. I was just using his platform to get the word out there. But they lie about absolutely everything. Here's from the New York Post. This is what Don wanted for his craptastic show. Don Lemon demanded a Tesla Cybertruck, a $5 million advance, equity in X before Elon Musk canned him. Sources. Well, first off, again, he didn't can him or fire him or hire him in the first place. But Lemon made, and by the way, he has made a point of saying repeatedly, Elon, that he is not giving deals to people. In other words, if I took this show to X to live stream every day, he doesn't give you a deal. Maybe they'll put some ads on it and you'll get something. But Tucker, whose show is on X now, there's no deal. You just are on the platform and then it will serve ads as it would serve ads to everything else. But Lemon wanted $5 million advance. I can tell you without getting too insider baseball on this, the idea that Don Lemon could generate $5 million for a show he's doing per year is absolutely insane. I know a little something about the subscription game right through Locals, and I know a bit about the video and ad game through Rumble and everything else, and having been on YouTube for a decade now, about roughly what shows generate. Nobody, there is not one person, show me one person on God's green earth who would pay $5 a month to Don Lemon for his show. There is nobody. Maybe someone at a mental institution, but I don't think they have access to money. That would basically be it. So you demand a Cybertruck and $5 million? Absolutely insane. But that's not really the point. The point is they're lying. They're lying about him being hired and fired. And you can see I'm just grabbing lies over the last couple days. We're just grabbing lies and showing them to you. It's as simple as that. But they do this with everything. But thank God. Thank God. I thanked God when I was at the Western Wall. I actually did. I talked to him about a couple things, but it was on my list of like, thank God some people are waking up, because people are not buying these lies anymore. And that means that they are going to get more hysterical. So now let's connect this to the migrant issue, the illegal immigrant issue, I should say, because this is the biggest thing they have lied about in terms of how it will immediately affect our lives. Because for the last 3 years, since Joe Biden became president, or whatever he is, a bumbling idiot that's up there that, you know, poorly reads teleprompters, we have seen about 7 million people come into this country. We have no idea who they are. We have no idea what they believe. There's reasons, certainly, to believe that they don't all have American values and everything else. They're also brought in largely by the Democrats who hate the country and then put them on the dole and everything else. So we got a whole series of problems here. And finally, in the last 6 months or so, I would say the thing that really escalated it was when Ron DeSantis booted the illegals out of Florida and sent them to Martha's Vineyard. Finally, it somehow broke into the mainstream that there's an issue with migrants or illegal immigrants right now, okay? Now there's a massive, like Haiti is basically, as a country, is pretty much falling apart right now. And Haitians are starting to show up here in America. Now there's a bit of an issue there because some of them are cannibals. And I don't like cannibals very much. And it's an issue, okay? So we've got something from Fox News here. Haiti rescue charter flight carrying American lands in Miami as gang violence escalates. Haiti has for weeks been plagued by gang violence. Okay, now, first off, a charter plane that's bringing American back obviously is just fine. But we know now that Haitians are coming across the border. They're literally, what's his name? Barbecue, the guy that's running the country. The guy that's running Haiti right now, his name is Barbecue because he eats humans. That's not good if you're a human, that's probably not good for you, okay? So they've lied about everything. And now we're seeing like a serious like barbecue man sending people and everything else. Well, you know what? When you come to Florida, we ain't gonna take that shit. And here's Ron DeSantis.
Just recently, within the last couple of weeks, and this will be made public later today, our Florida Fish and Wildlife officers interdicted a vessel that had 25 illegal immigrants, potential illegal immigrants from Haiti, in their boat, in their vessel. They had firearms, they had drugs, they had night vision gear, and were boating very recklessly, which would potentially endanger other folks. So that vessel was interdicted near the Sebastian Inlet, and those illegal aliens were turned over to the Coast Guard for deportation. So our folks have been doing this before we augmented this, and they're going to continue to do it. And we've got an incredible amount of resources that are now on display to be able to prevent. Now, what's different today than maybe in the past? Well, part of it is we have more resources that the state has been willing to put up. And this is not really our responsibility. This is the federal government's responsibility. Coast Guard does, by and large, a good job, but they're undermanned. They're under-resourced. So we're filling those gaps. I think one difference now is, and we see this with our folks that we have at the border, you have people coming across the southern border from all over the world. Haitians can get to the United States easier by flying to Mexico and walking across the border. And so I would anticipate if flights resume, that will likely be where a lot of those folks who are trying to flee, if they want to come to the United States, they're probably going to go to Mexico and then come in through the border, knowing that Biden will just let everybody in.
Remember a couple of minutes ago when I said we have no serious people here? Well, we do have a couple. That guy is probably the most important one at the moment, because as this administration tries to destroy the country, I think it's the only way you can honestly assess this at this point. This is not an accident. We are watching an invasion the same way Western Europe was invaded about a decade ago. The states are going to do what they got to do. So 25 people on a boat, and they've got weapons and night vision and drugs. They were just going to show up to Florida. Well, thank God Florida is a peninsula, and thank God We have a Coast Guard and everything else, and we are getting rid of these people. You may remember a story that we did, I think a day or two before I left for Israel, about how ICE had arrested an illegal immigrant who raped a woman in Tampa, and then they said they don't have any more beds. So they let an illegal immigrant rapist out on the streets, and DeSantis had him arrested and booted about a half hour later. So there are ways to deal with these things seriously, and I suppose you better hope you live in a state where they're going to do that. Because the Biden administration is breaking the law, actually, at this point, DeSantis continued.
Biden is also flouting the law by creating an illegal parole program where he flies in people from foreign countries against the law and puts them into our community. So, for example, you just had an instance where one of the people Biden flew in from Haiti is now charged with sexually assaulting a 15-year-old with disabilities in Massachusetts. And you think to yourself, how is that protecting our people? You're putting our own people at risk through violating the law, a policy that's not authorized under the law. It's a violation of parole, how that's used. And he's doing that, and it's causing a lot of problems. So yes, the border has been a huge issue. There's a lot of different ways in which this administration is flouting the law.
Okay, so let's just be clear. We don't have to smack you in the head of this. Biden is Biden doesn't know where the hell he is. This administration is doing this intentionally. We don't need a bipartisan bill. We don't need any new laws. We have a border. We have all the tools we need to close that border. They're not only walking through Mexico, but now Biden administration wanted to keep the numbers lower, so they fly people in. It's absolutely insane. Now, you might go, but Dave, not all Haitians are cannibals. Like, where are we at this point? Not all Haitians are cannibals. And you're right, not all Haitians are cannibals. But whether you're Haitian or from anywhere else, we just don't know what these people are up to. And check out this from Andy Ngo, friend of the show, friend of mine. Andy Ngo, a Haitian migrant has been arrested and charged in the Boston area after allegedly raping a child who has disabilities. Corey Alvarez was being housed at a taxpayer-funded hotel turned migrant center in Rockland, Massachusetts. The child victim was taken to a hospital after the rape. In recent years, there has already been a surge of Haitian illegal migrants into the U.S. The Biden administration says they expect more to come with the total collapse of Haiti now into anarchy and chaos. An illegal immigrant from Haiti, a place where they're doing cannibalism, raped a handicapped child. Could there be more? Well, check this out from the New York Post. Illegal migrant from Lebanon told border authorities he's a Hezbollah terrorist and hoped to make a bomb in the U.S. That seems like a problem. I can tell you, having just been in Israel, Hezbollah is the Iranian Shiite group that's running Lebanon right now. One of the images that we showed you in that compilation up top was from a house that was just destroyed. It was a couple that was, I think, 78, lived in the same house for 50 years. Their house was just blown apart by a Hezbollah rocket. But all of these groups that are surrounding Israel, I should have mentioned up top, I saw the 47-minute video. You know, there's a 47-minute compilation video for all the videos and horrific things that you guys have all seen out of October 7th. There's one that the IDF is just kind of keeping because it's so graphic and out of respect to some of the families, but I literally saw a video with beheadings, slicing off of heads. I saw children running into bomb shelters with their, in one case with their father, and a terrorist walking in, dropping the grenade. You see the father get blown apart and the children running out. You get all the things. So why are we letting all these people into our country? We have no idea what's going on. Of course, the other problem is that once people get into this country, they are fed all of the wrong ideas. They're fed the wrong ideas through our media, who lie and obfuscate about things and don't tell the truth. They're fed all the wrong things when it comes to education. We know that. Here are some school students in New York chanting, "Free, free Palestine." Do you think any of these kids know what they're talking about?
Yes, I don't lie.
We will free Palestine. Well, actually, Palestine, the place known as Palestine, at least in their muddled minds, is Israel. That's number one. When the when the British mandate of Palestine ended, it was offered to be split amongst Jews and Arabs. There were no Palestinian people at that time. When they referred to Palestinians, it just meant people who lived there, that they were Jews and Christians and Arabs and everything else. The Arabs said no to the Peel Commission in 1937. They said no to the partition plan in 1947. They've said no to several plans in the 2000s. They do not want peace. So what are they trying to free it from? You're trying to call for a massacre of all the Jews and Christians who live in quote-unquote Palestine, a place that, tell me who the prime minister was, who was the president, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I have some sympathy for those kids because they've been fed all of the wrong ideas. And their parents probably watch MSNBC and they are confused about everything, absolutely everything. And then what happens? Well, the other piece of this, of course, is Hollywood. Hollywood then feeds people all of the wrong ideas. When I talked earlier about Chuck Schumer for a moment and how just to watch Chuck Schumer throw Israel and Jews under the bus while I was in Israel, like having just visited Gaza and talking to people whose parents and children were either murdered or kidnapped, and he's going on and on about how Bibi doesn't want peace, and it's like nobody on the other side wants peace. Nobody's ever wanted peace. Show me one Palestinian activist who wants peace. It doesn't exist. Show me a member of the Democrat Party who wants peace. Like, it just doesn't exist. The other thing that happened where the Oscars were on, I can't even remember the last time I saw a new movie. I don't watch anything out of Hollywood at this point, but this guy is a sellout. He's a capo. Jonathan Glazer, here he is giving his acceptance speech. You probably saw this over the last couple of days because it went viral, and it's just absolutely disgusting. But again, I'm connecting it to all of the wrong people sharing nonsensical ideas, having no idea what's really going on in the world.
Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people.
Okay, there is no occupation. There was not one Jew in Gaza. Gaza was part of Egypt before 1967. No, Egypt now has a fucking massive wall. We can't throw that picture up real quick. We've shown it to you before. It's like a three-layer, huge freaking wall that Egypt has. They have not let in one Gazan. If any of these people believed anything that they were saying about the Middle East, wouldn't you be demanding, Egypt, could you just open up the door? You got Sinai there. It's three times the size of Israel. Could you just let the people in? How come the United Arab Emirates, how come Qatar, how come Jordan, how come the rest of these countries haven't let five Palestinians in? Because everyone knows they're lying. And then you get like a pathetic person like this, like Glazer, they're just going to behead you a little lower on the head because you got your neck in the sand. We actually do have an image of this is the Egypt border with Gaza, which is rather intense. And there are several other walls, and Egypt has blown up tunnels and everything else. So it's very, very strange. And again, Israel has made peace offers and everything else. But these pathetic people like Schumer, these quaking losers, like you think you're gonna be saved? You know, the other thing out of that 47-minute video is they're constantly talking about murdering the Jew and raping the Jew and killing the Jew and kidnapping the Jew. Chuck Schumer, Glazer, you're done no matter what if they win. It doesn't matter if you sell out your people and everything you know to be true. Like, you're still going down, buddy. Yeah, maybe 5 minutes later, but you're going down. That's how it goes. Anyway, we keep importing all of these people. Okay, so somebody's raping a 15-year-old handicapped girl, and, you know, we've got somebody saying they're going to, you know, bomb us just like Hezbollah does and all of that. But if you think what's happening in America is odd or unpleasant, let's say, London and most of Europe is going through something crazy, but England really has a massive problem on their hand because they have hundreds of thousands of these people and they are unabashedly calling for jihad. And again, it starts with the Jews, starts with the Saturday people, it ends with the Sunday people. This is London. Listen to this guy. This is a couple days ago.
The only solution is jihad by the armies of the Muslim countries. Not by you and me. Who are we? What training do I have? There are people with arms in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, across the Muslim world, and right now they are boiling like we are.
Seems like London might have an occupation problem because guys like him are occupying London. Every weekend, this is happening in London where there are huge freaking rallies. Check this out. They say this is 250,000 people marching in London. And just tell me, do these people all strike you like they have true British values? Do you think they can't stand up for anyone else's freedom of speech? What would they do if they were able to break into the palace where the king is? What do you think would happen to the king, to King Charles, and the rest of the family?
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free,
end apartheid. It's incredible. Israel is the only country in the region that doesn't have apartheid. In Lebanon, you're not allowed to be a doctor or own land if you're a quote-unquote Palestinian. Jordan is ruled by the Hashemite kingdom, king, right? So, like, there, it's a kingdom and a monarchy that rules over their Palestinian population. We got one more image from the march, I believe. I mean, look at that. Look at that. Victory to the Intifada. Like, and if you, and again, I'm not playing this. Yes, I happened to be in Israel last week, but that's not really the issue. This is London. This is London. What are those, if those people think that the Jews are occupying Israel or they're occupying Palestine, who do they think they are to be there? What are you doing there? This is an abject failure of multiculturalism. And unfortunately, you know, in America, we have a much better problem because we've integrated people much better. I think our values are a little clearer. I do think because we have weapons that we will stand up for ourselves a little bit more. We were born out of a revolution and a sense of freedom, and I think we will fight for it a little bit more. I think more and more people are waking up, as crazy as it all is. But London, what are you going to do? You have no leaders that are going to get you out of this problem. You have absolutely nobody, and you will watch your society collapse. Because, you know, the other thing that's going to happen is that we know Jews are now starting to leave London, right? So I think, can you Google how many Jews are in England? I guess would be about 500,000, something like that. They will head on out. Most likely, most of them will go to Israel. Some will come to America. I bet a few go to Hungary, actually. There are 260,000 Jews in the UK. And guess what? They're usually pretty good, and they're pretty educated, and they're pretty peaceful and everything else. So you're going to now lose a whole bunch of those people, and you're going to import more of those. Why not show you what London was like in 1932? Because it was a little different. Like, maybe that's a little heavy-handed. I'm not even sure anymore, actually, right? So that's basically 100 years ago, a little less than 100 years ago. There weren't jihadists on the street calling to destroy countries and kill millions of people. But now you've got that, London. And by the way, the London mayor is completely sympathetic. He's one of them. And the prime minister, Rishi Sunak, is just complete. He's just irrelevant, and he's probably on his way out. So they have a huge problem. Phoenix just reminded me that our last day in Israel, we met with the minister of the diaspora in Israel. So he deals with, you know, the Jewish communities that are outside of Israel. And he gave a brilliant talk. I'm going to try to have him on the show when he comes to Miami. He was quite excellent. And he made a point of saying, because he was talking about what's going on in London, what's going on in Paris, et cetera, et cetera. He made a point of saying that Hungary actually is the safest place for Jews in Europe. Hungary, which has those crazy border restrictions and doesn't let all these people in. And it's a very small country and largely Christian country. It is about 100,000 Jews in it, and they're safe. I met them. Some of them, and I mention that because the media constantly lies about Hungary. What is Hungary? It's a fascist place with that Orban, who's a fascist and a mean guy and everything else. So now I want to connect this to everything else happening sort of culturally right now, because I'm praying. I am quite literally praying that people are waking up. I know they are, but they're going to have to make some new decisions for themselves as it relates to voting, right? And I get it, he's orange, and people have an aversion to orange things, I suppose, but you may have to get over it, because otherwise this thing is just done. You will look back and you'll go, boy, we had it all and we handed it away. Right before we left for Israel, I had Emily Austin on the show. Emily's a really incredible advocate for Israel. She wasn't her whole life. She was doing sports broadcasting, and she's quite a good broadcaster. And then suddenly this thing happens on October 7th, and she starts waking up to all this. She's 22 years old. I think she's just a spectacular truth teller. And here she is talking about how some of this stuff is actually shifting in real time right now, especially as it relates to young people.
Because I used to be actually really anti-gun, like before even college. That was just what I saw online. And now I'm sitting in a synagogue and I'm like, I really hope everyone has a gun. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, I'm so pro-guns now, because I feel like if all the bad guys have it, obviously the good guys should have it too, because who's going to stop the bad guys?
So do you sense that a lot of people are on that wake up thing? You know, I talk about on the show every day that, like, the good, decent liberal, and there's a lot of Jews like that in Long Island, like, they're just like, finally, okay, maybe we should have guns.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't vote for Democrats. Maybe we shouldn't have open borders. There's a couple other issues we could connect to all of this.
Yes, I think I made a funny joke this morning. I was like, guys, remember when build a wall was racist?
And not
now,
yeah.
Now everyone's like, can we build this damn wall? Because it's not about excluding others. Like they shift the narrative too much. It's about protecting ourselves. And there's a way to include people, but doing it the right way. That's it. It's not as racist and excluding as people want it to be. And I think people are starting to realize that because of their own selfish interests. Because now it's your house getting robbed. It's your daughter being harassed on the street. It's your home that's being affected. It's your neighborhood being affected. And once it applies to you, you care. It's easy to speak when you have no skin in the game. So, you know, everyone's like, yeah, just let the migrants in, of course. Like, who was California was telling Governor Abbott to stop sending them to California, but you're the same people that told Governor Abbott to let them in. So make up your mind. So, of course, when it benefits you, you have a say in it. And now it benefits everyone to keep the migrants out because they're being affected. So I think people, unfortunately, only open their eyes once it's reached an insane point.
Yeah, that's true. She's not a radical. She wasn't even a conservative or anything else. 22 years old, waking up, and a whole bunch of other people are waking up because they're going, okay, maybe raping handicapped 15-year-olds isn't good. Maybe letting Hezbollah and Hamas supporters isn't good. I am fairly certain that the average Brit, first, and by the way, those people on the streets are not representative of the average Brit, but if the average Brit had a time machine and could go back 10 years and do something about what happened to their country, they probably would. So to bring this whole show together, what do we have to do? We have to call out the lies and confusions of the mainstream media because it ain't going to stop. Then we have to actually do something on the ground, do what Ron DeSantis is doing and have law and order. And do you think maybe there's a connection? Isn't it odd that there seems to be a connection with places that allow for crime in stores? Go in, steal $850 worth of stuff, jump the turnstile. That's also where they let all the illegals in. Like, it's a complete collapse of everything that we once knew a functioning society should do. So we got to start deporting people. We got to start arresting people. We got to start taking control of our borders. And then perhaps, do you think maybe we should look back at some old stories? Maybe some old books gave us some hints on some of this stuff. Do you think that maybe not only the Bible, but Plato, Shakespeare, do you think that there are ideas that people who were so much more serious about reality than us in our modern adolescence, do you think that maybe they knew something, maybe they learned something, maybe a lot of them died so that we could freaking play video games all day? Douglas Murray.
If you were to teach child the Bible, Plato, and Shakespeare, I think I can say with 100% certainty, all of that will still be useful in 20 years' time. And it'll be useful in 50 years' time and 100 years' time.
And more is the pity that so many modern education systems don't give you any sight of things like Plato.
Well, because then you don't know what you're grounded in. And the problem is then you don't know the waters you're swimming in.
So many of us, those kids who are out there chanting for things they have no idea what they're saying, they're not grounded to anything related to reality. A media that lies to them, education system that lies to them, and everything else. But we better start fixing it. And the best thing you can do is figure out what that means to you. But more importantly than any of this, I mentioned on the show a few weeks ago that analyzing the ladies from The View and the clown people at MSNBC and everything else is difficult. And sometimes I run out of words, sort of like Joe Biden can't speak. Sometimes I'm like, I've said all that. Oh, I'm going to drop an F-bomb. It's a lot. I said, I need a clown that I can punch sometimes. So we'll come back from a clip. And instead of analyzing it, because you guys are bright, you know, the difference between CNN viewers and you guys is you guys get it, right? Like you watch a clip, you get it. So we did buy a clown. We have an inflatable Bozo the Clown here. Who's blowing this thing up, by the way? Have we decided that? I don't know how we're going to figure out who's... Brock, you raised your... Brock, you just volunteered to blow up the clown? Really? Okay, so Brock is going to blow up this inflatable clown later. And on the show going forward, I don't know how often it's going to happen. I don't know that it'll happen once an episode or maybe once a week. When I show you a clip of, say, Jen Psaki lying, and she actually kind of looks like a clown, or any of these people, I'm just going to punch an inflatable clown. Because that's what they are, and that's what they deserve. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Do we have a cold close for them? I think we do. Are we doing a cold close? Yeah, we've got a cold close for you today. That full interview, by the way, with Emily Austin is up across platforms, absolutely ad-free. over on Locals, we've got some more Israel content coming out, and particularly this video where I walk from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre to the Western Wall. You're going to really want to see, just to get a little context. And you're going to literally, as they're screaming, these morons on college campuses are screaming apartheid, you're going to see women in burqas walking by little Orthodox Jewish boys. Like, it's so bananas. It's insane. But they lie about everything. Postgame show in about 30 seconds. RubenReport.locals.com. People of the internet at 1 p.m. Goodbye.
Come a little closer. I'm going to stay over here by Joni.
Do they know each?
No, hold him tight. Hold him tight.
I am.
You got it.
I am.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
All right, Joni, you got it.
's for tuning into the Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubinReport.locals.com.